and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. The French have a wonderful way with words. For instance, take ooh-la-la. Well, everybody understands a bit of ooh-la-la, except my wife.
He's right, you know, Chief.
Is it?
Yeah, take the French word avoir-du-point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my comic gave the derivation of that particular word last week. It's all broken down.
Like yourself?
Yeah, no. No, I mean, the word avoir-du-point, translated into bits, is av, meaning to have. Well, the French dropped the H. Avoir, meaning to see.
Mm-hmm.
And du, meaning all that damp stuff on the grass. And point, meaning terribly, terribly small garden peas.
I see, sir. In that case, avoir du point means I know that you've disgraced yourself in my garden because the grass is all wet.
Now, as you might have gathered with all this interest in foreign languages, HMS Troutbridge is due to make a courtesy visit to France, although up to now, the crew don't know it. However, one cunning, disreputable, fuzz-faced old member of the Pertwee family does. Uncle Ebenezer.
Nanky! Nanky, you old fool! Where are you, you bristle-mushed old twit?
Watch it, Johnsy boy.
Watch it, Nanky.
Here, when you come in through that door, did you see any froggies lurking about outside?
Froggies?
Yeah, French froggies.
Tell me. Don't tell me they're sending a trade mission over to inquire if your importing has got to join the common market.
No, no. No, not likely. Yeah. Mad Pierre is sending a mission over, all right. But it's to play football with the head in the high street.
Mad Pierre?
Yeah.
Blimey, you haven't been potty enough to get on the wrong side of him.
Well, it's purely a slight financial misunderstanding.
Yeah, you never paid him for the last lot of smuggled booze, I suppose.
Well, you could put it like that. On the other hand, no other way of putting it.
Ossie, good morning.
Yeah, come back here. You're in it too, you know.
Hey, how did that happen?
Well, when we was chatting,
yeah,
I sort of accidentally let it slip that you was my partner.
Hey?
Yeah, that I was waiting for you to cough up your share before I could pay him.
You disgusting unwashed heap of old clothes. What do you want to tell him a thing like that for?
Don't panic, Johnsy. Because I've got it all sorted out.
Yeah?
I've put the bite on your posh cousin Peregrine in the Ministry of Defence and arranged for Troutbridge, Admiral Fafont Bittux and his personal motor yacht to go over to Dieppe for a week. Once you're over there, I've arranged with Mad Pierre for you to deliver 3 shiploads of booze across the channel from Dieppe to New Haven, free of charge.
Charming. How do I get it across?
What do you think the Admiral's personal motor yacht's there for?
Of course! Of course, the Admiral won't notice a little thing like that's missing, will he?
Of course not. He'll be doing one shipload a night, so it'll be dark, won't it?
It's still possible that he may notice as he staggers out of his estaminet and steps 22 foot down into the water onto where the deck of his boat ought to be.
No, he won't, Johnsy, because he'll be having a kip in Mad Pierre's calf, where you've slipped him a Mickey Finn.
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
Well, what happens if Commander Murray and Mr. Phillips are with him?
Expense no object. Bang on the Mickey Finn each as well.
Cheers, Commander Murray, or as the locals say, bon chance.
So, derriere's up, Mr. Phillips.
You know, it's jolly nice of the chief to stand us these drinks every night. I don't know how he can afford it.
It's probably come to some arrangement with the owner of this estaminet.
Arrangement?
Yes. The only thing that baffles me is what's missing from Troutbridge that we haven't noticed that he's flogged to Mad Pierre to pay for all this food.
Of course, the Pertwee family motto is see it, whip it, flog it, forget it.
Yes, quite.
Or alternatively, now you see it, now you don't, and never will again.
Very puzzling. The wardroom silver hasn't gone?
No.
The gilt frame round the picture of the late Admiral Troutbridge in my cabin hasn't gone?
No.
All my civilian clothes haven't gone? Even the alcohol in the compass is still there.
I say, we have been tied up for 3 days, so the ship hasn't moved. You don't think he's stolen our propellers for scrap metal?
Hardly. But to be on the safe side, I'll send the diver down in the morning.
Oh, well, let's enjoy his hospitality while we can. Incidentally, sir, have you noticed how jolly relaxing the air is over here? I've never slept so well.
Now you come to mention it, neither have I. I miss Rita, of course.
Oh, yes.
Just to think that round about now, those delicate little hands of hers will be grasping a shovel. Mucking out, bouncing Betty's stables. I wish I could be with her.
Now, steady, sir, steady. This is no time to break down, sir. Mustn't be a crybaby in front of foreigners.
No, I'll be all right. It's just that I'm such a sentimental fool at times.
Chap can't help a chap's nature. Look on the bright side, sir. Only three more stable mucking out days and you'll be home.
You're right. Good man. You know, talking about the air being relaxing over here, I got so tired every night, I haven't even remembered leaving here and going back to the ship.
Now, it's funny that, neither have I. But every morning I wake up in my cabin bunk with Mr. Bruin. Mr. Bruin. My teddy. But I do keep having these terrible nightmares. I think I'm fighting Captain Povey to the death because I'm in love with his wife, Ramona.
Now, that's what I really call a nightmare.
Snag is, when I wake up, I find I've been punching the living sawdust out of Mr. Bruin. It takes me hours to sew him up again.
Oh, you get out of my way, Pertwicky, or whatever your name is. I've got a thirst like a blasted parched penguin.
Right, I'll see to it at once, sir. If you care to join Commander Murray and Mr. Phillips as usual. Three specialities of the Maison coming up.
About blasted time, too. Well, get a move on or I'll drink somebody else's.
Garcon! Who is the Bonce Potipier? Don't worry, he's at the bar. Hello. Horn Sawyerveen, Mayor Chair. As you can see, our three Nowatails are in again.
Ah, bon. Here are the trois specials.
You?
Wish them bonne nuit for me, huh?
Oh, yes. Merci, very much. And tell your froggy stretcher bearers to stand by. This shouldn't take long.
I still say you are overdoing it. Three trips wipes out the debt, huh? There is no need to make a fourth tonight.
Oh, yes, there is. This loudest smuggle is Pertwee's personal perks.
Don't you forget my cut, or else...
Oh, I know. Or else Pertwee's head will be in the semi-final replay. Yeah, well, excuse me, monsieur.
Excuse me. Pardon me, mademoiselle.
With or without apple sauce?
Good evening, officers and gents all assembled. The drinks are on the house as usual, sir.
At last.
My pleasure, I'm sure, sir. Give me a shout if you want seconds.
I say, have you idiots noticed how relaxing the air is over here? One drink and I go out like a light.
Yes, funny you should say that, sir. We were just saying, we don't even remember leaving here at night.
You're absolutely right. I've noticed that when I wake up in my cabin, even Mr. Bruin's still got his eyes shut. And he never oversleeps as a rule.
Well, you're lucky. At least you wake up in your cabin. I'm supposed to be sleeping on the yacht. Every morning I wake up on Troutbridge. Monday night I seem to have slept in your boiler room. Tuesday night it was a chain locker. And last night...
Well, I prefer to forget where I slept last night.
My word, I didn't half-bang my head on the wash basin when I woke up. Anyway, cut the cackle, I'm thirsty. Here's mud in your forecastle.
Yeah, absent friends.
Yes, including Mr. Bruin.
Oh, good night.
Lummy, that was quick. Christopher Robin didn't even have time to kneel down at the foot of the table.
Matter of fact... it's almost Betty Bye's.
Oh, come on, chaps. The party's ready just now.
Beginning. Oh, dear. Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
stop it, stop it.
Henry Purvis.
Ah, ah, what, what? Not guilty, my lad. Who put the light on? Oh, it's you, Ramona, my love. Good morning.
It is not morning. It is the middle of the night. It's 10:30.
Oh, then why did you wake me up?
Because you were smiling in your sleep. And I'm not having you enjoying yourself behind my back.
Oh, oh, but I wasn't, Rachel. I mean...
Just as I thought. That settles it. Out of bed this instant. Ewan, stand by the window and count the empty milk bottles on the doorsteps until your bald head goes back to its normal colour.
But it is its normal colour.
Don't you snap at me. It's a bright pink. And for your information, that's a dead giveaway.
Very well, my love. 1, 2, 3.5 pints. 4.5. 5.5. 6.5 for the cream bottle. Or is it the other? Well, we are not at the start again. 1, 2, 3.5.
Cease counting while I answer my Ramona Ped for telephone. Ramona Purvis residence. Ramona Purvis speaking from our boudoir. Who wishes to converse?
Hello, Missy. This is intelligence speaking. Is Captain Toby there?
He had better be.
Not the old him. Well, Commander Bracewell would like to work with him.
That is completely out of the question. He is far too busy standing at the window counting milk bottles.
Is he? That's funny. He's got the same hobby I have. And they say I'm potty. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt him, but this is urgent.
No, very well. Just this once. Tell Commander Bracewell to be brief.
Come.
Henry, permission to speak and hark at my Ramona paid for telephone.
Oh, thank you, my love. Captain Purvey speaking.
Bracewell of intelligence, hello, man. Oh. My word, you could be really in it this time. What? Just you've got a little nest egg put by because your pension's as good as God.
What?
That's what I like. Bags of panic. Wouldn't be in your shoes for all the takeaway Chinese food in England.
Commander Bracewell, will you please tell me what's wrong? What's happened?
Well, we're not quite sure, but you're the one responsible for Troutbridge towing Admiral Fafon Bittock's motor yacht over to Dieppe. Had some toffee-nosed chap from Customs and Excise on the blower, and they've seen the Admiral's yacht sneaking into New Haven and back to Dieppe again for the last 3 nights. They're suspected of smuggling.
Smuggling? Admiral Fafon Bittock's? That's impossible.
Want to bet? They're keeping a special watch out for it tonight. If it has been smuggling, your court-martial should be rather fun. Sleep well. Doodly-bye.
No. Commander Bracewell, wait. Hello. There you are. I've seen him at Parrish. That'll put a smile on your Scottish whoosh. New Haven, straight ahead.
I dinna like it. I tell you, Chief, as sure as the sun never sets on the Laird Sporran, I can sense the gloom and darkness in the air all about us. And I can tell you by the chieftain's claymore, we're going to get necked the next.
What exhilarating company you are, McTavish.
Smuggling for 3 nights was risky enough, but mark my words. By being greedy and making this 4th trip, as a typical ignorant Englishman, you have sassanakered yourself. Aye, laugh if you will. But I ken the time at the Highland Games when young Charlie McSwell of the McSwells was hell-bent on showing his prowess with his caber. In front of the milling crowds. I said, dinna do it, Charlie. Dinna do it. Your caber's too big.
I take it Charlie did himself an unfortunate.
That he did. With his caber upright. He ran forward a few steps and tossed it in the air.
Well, isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Aye. But you're also supposed to let it go. Poor Charlie didn't. The record book shows that Charlie threw the caber 9.5 inches. And the caber threw Charlie 125 yards.
Well, good for Charlie.
Aye, he didn't heed my advice. and neither did you. And like poor Charlie, I think you're about to regret it.
God, the customs laws. You and your comical caver-caper chat, I never noticed them.
Hey there, make hurry up, sitting Becky. Please do. I'm coming aboard to inspect you.
Stone me another load of porridge. Oh dear, McTavish, when he spots all those bottles of booze below, swear blind they're cough lictors.
Aye, aye, aye.
Close the look. We're coming alongside now. Right.
With or without your permission, as a customs officer, I intend to search your multi yacht from stem to stern, Admiral for Von Buttocks.
Admiral who? Oh, yes. Yes, of course. You mean me? Yes. Your gold bleed itself, Mr. Customs Officer, gentlemen. Be my guest.
I intend to.
When you find the brandy, it's cufflinkus.
Thanks, very good. Wait a minute. That's the voice of the McTavish, if ever I hear one.
And that's the voice of the McBitty.
Hello. It's pistols for two, breakfast for one, and dusty Scottish words at 20 paces.
And I'm telling you no for nothing, Chief. And that comes hard for a Scotsman. You'll get no mercy from a McBicky.
Preventing officer McBicky, sir. We found it. It's brandy, sir. No, it's not.
That's cough litters. You see? I need lots of the stuff. It'll have me write his name, tins, and new temperature.
Admiral for Funk Buttocks, I'm seizing your cargo to have it analyzed. I'm also impounding your yacht and taking it to New Haven to have it searched thoroughly. And the result of these investigations, it'll be decided what further action will be taken in the courts.
I see.
Well,
if you're intending to impound my yacht, I'm warning you as an admiralship, such an action is going to turn dead nasty on you.
And in what way would that be, may I ask?
By all means. At 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, my yacht and I are due to welcome aboard the French Minister of Defense, with or without his portfolio. Mr. Rumpidou. And if Mr. Rumpidou come aboard, I wouldn't bet half a hot haggis on your future employment.
Well, you know, fast yourself, Admiral. I must do my job, but as soon as we get to New Haven, I'll put my entire staff to search your yacht as fast as possible, and providing we find no further contraband, rest assured that you and your yacht will be back in Dieppe in time.
And that, your worship, is the accused solicitor, concludes my case. For the defense of the accused. Admiral Funkbitter. In fact, I'd go farther and claim that in the interest of justice. In justice, he has no case to. To answer to us. In brief, the defense rests.
Yes, sir, well, thank you. Thank you very much indeed for your endless summing up, Peabody. There are times when I think that you've been soliciting for too long. Now, my fellow JPs and myself will now converse in an effort to reach a decision. Well, what do you want? What do you think, Mr. Clayton Crafton?
Guilty, definitely. Fine £5 and 30 shillings damages awarded to the council to cover the costs of the paint needed to paint out that word on the outside wall of the public library.
Stupid old fool. That was the first case. You've been nodding off again. We're talking about Admiral von Bittrex on a charge of smuggling.
Oh, never mind about him and this case. Let's get on to the next one. It's rape.
Now, steady, Miss Pitchford. Steady. In a moment. All good things are worth waiting for.
But I've read the affidavits. It's going to be absolutely super. It's going to make Casanova look like Crossroads.
Now, calm down, Miss Pitchford. Calm down. We'll all enjoy it all the more when we get to it.
I love not add a word to the clerk of the court, who wants to get away to the local operatic society's performance of O Calcutta. You'll remember that we licensed that last week along with the Mikado. And it's his opinion that we can't give a verdict on this smuggling charge until we know the analyst's report on the brandy from the public laboratory.
All right. Three idiots up there. What's the blasting verdict?
It is our opinion that we can't have one on this case, so bail is renewed for 2 weeks.
Oh, lovely. Next case. Oh, this is going to be fun. What did you think of Casanova, Mr. Crichton Crofton?
Guilty. Fine, £5.
Of course, the whole thing is ridiculous. If I'd been in court defending the Admiral, it would have been a very different story.
Yeah, quite. You'd have got 10 years.
Excuse me, Mr. Phillips, sir, about your navigation rules. It's some time since you gave me an order, sir. And as we are approaching Portsmouth Harbour and towing the Admiral's motor yacht, if you'd be so kind...
No, Chief, no, this is important. Yes. After all, the Admiral is Commander Murray's father-in-law. I don't suppose you knew this, but I've been studying law in my spare time for the last 6 months. And anything Chief Ironside can do in 50 minutes, I can do in half an hour. Oh, it's Margaret Lockwood in justice. No, wrong again. No.
Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt your legalities, but about your navigationals, we are towing the Admiral's motor yacht, and we're almost at Portsmouth Harbour entrance now, sir. It would help, sir, if you just tell me, sir...
What a fool I am.
No, sir, never.
Yes, I am. I'm a fool. Yes, I am. No, it wasn't either of those. It was Sophia Loren... who was fiddling with her marbles in Kane Mutiny. Or was it Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? No. And I've got it now. It was this French citizen whose name was Robespierre.
Mr. Phillips, sir, never mind the Admiral's Chitty Chitty Bang Bangs. If you don't concentrate on your navigationals, we're going to have a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang all of our own against the Harbour Wall.
What? Where?
There.
Lummy, full us down both.
Mr. Phillips, sir, I wouldn't advise that.
Don't argue me, Chief. Full us down both.
Well, if you insist, sir, full us down both.
Now, who did that?
In a manner of speaking, Mr. Phillips, you did. Motor yachts in tow can't reverse.
Oh, I forgot about that thing. Quick, Chief. Full ahead, both.
Not to panic, sir. The problem, i.e., one Admiral's motor yacht, is no longer with us. You've just sunk it.
In that case, Chief, there's only one thing to do.
Hey, no, sir. Let go of the oarsa and swear blind we've been to Dieppe and couldn't find it.
Definitely wasn't me.
Well, whether it was or whether it wasn't, sir, he's coming up onto the bridge, and I've just remembered that I'm urgently wanted down below.
Stay right where you are.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Customs Officer, gentlemen. Your launch just bashed my ship.
On the contrary, I am from the Customs and Excise. Therefore, your frigate hurled itself at my launch. Now then, and I'm taking all this down. Obviously, you've heard that Admiral Fafont Bittox has been released from the charge of smuggling because all those bottles we confiscated from his motor yacht contained cold tea instead of brandy.
Cold tea?
Silence, Chief Petty Officer. I was talking. The Admiral's complete discharge didn't fool us. The cold tea was obviously a decoy. The real stuff was still hidden in his craft somewhere.
Well, I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about.
That's why I was coming out to search the craft, and you deliberately sunk it to destroy the evidence.
Now, don't worry, chaps. I'll defend us, as Robespierre once said when he was playing with his marbles.
Everybody shall know the real truth of what's going on. I shall reveal all. Good day.
That wasn't what Robespierre said. That's what Lady Hamilton said to Lord Nelson.
What's happened? Why is the customs officer treading water in his nice new uniform?
Well, it's a most unfortunate error, sir. The lads don't take kindly to customs officers. So instead of letting go of the oarsman on the Admiral's yacht, they must have inadvertently, I'm sure, sir, released the oarsman on the customs launch.
You mean he got the Admiral's Dieppe treatment?
Exactly, sir. He stepped 20 foot down into the water onto where his deck used to be before it floated off.
No, that's what Lord Nelson said to Lady Hamilton. No, what Robespierre said.
Oh, shut up!
John Pertwee and Leslie Phillips have been operating for profit in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Stephen Murray was the CEO, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Captain Purvey was played by Richard Caldicott, Ren Chasen was Heather Chasen, Commander Bracewell was Michael Bates, Nike was Daniel Evans, and Dumbo was Laurie Wyman. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.